Stephen Pettis Ministries is pleased to share this anointed, life-changing message with you, straight from the Word of God. We believe it will encourage you, build your faith, and be another step toward a better life of complete victory. So open your heart, incline your ears, and receive the rich, uncompromised Word of God. The message has just started. Let's listen in.
Of Hebrews. Tenth chapter of Hebrews, verse 23. It says, let us hold fast the profession, or we know it's the confession of our faith, without wavering, for he is faithful that promised. Hallelujah. I'm going to talk about the confession of faith. Now, most of you know, we just completed the Faith Inventory series. Which is, it's locating your faith, examining your faith, taking stock of your faith. And we talked about how to maintain an available supply of faith. But in this lesson, I'm going to kind of remind some of you, maybe introduce to others, the significance and the importance of the confession of faith. Now, most of you all know this, but this is one of those areas that we can let slip. And if we let that slip, that can really affect our faith walk. You see, faith only has one language. To put it this way, the faith confession is simply choosing to say what the Word of God says instead of saying what your situation is saying. Now, that sounds very simple, sounds very easy. But then when we get in certain situations, what is it that we say? So the faith confession is choosing to say what the Word of God says instead of saying what your situation in life is saying. If you're faced with a financial challenge, what do you say? If you're faced with a challenge concerning your health, what do you say? Your faith with an uncomfortable situation on your job or school or whatever, or in your family, in your marriage, whatever it is, what do you say? Hallelujah. This really even ties into the prayer of faith that I even talked about during that faith inventory series, which is taken from 1 John 5 and 14, where it says, this is the confidence that we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will or his word, he hears us. Now, we know that the Word of God is our foundation for prayer, but the Word of God is also the foundation for the faith confession. Amen. What is it that makes this faith confession so powerful? Is because it all began with God. You don't have to turn to it, but Hebrews 11 and 3 says that the world's were framed by the Word of God. In other words, the natural world and the spiritual world were framed by the Word of God. Any and everything that we see was spoken into manifestation. Then in Hebrews 11 and 3, as the world was framed by the Word of God, it continues to say that things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. So how did what we now see appear? Let's go to Genesis. First chapter of Genesis. Hallelujah. This is very, very important. And this is really one of those areas where a lot of folk in the body of Christ have allowed to slip. You can tell when a person is still in their faith confession. You just keep talking with them after a while. Just let a situation come up. Just especially some finances. Oh, I can't afford that. See, you let it slip. Now, I'm not being judgmental. It can happen to all of us from the pulpit to the back door. But this is one of those areas we've allowed to slip. And it can mess your faith up. All right. Hebrews 1, first chapter, verse 1. How did what we see, what we now see appears? In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. The earth was without form. Let's understand that. The earth was without form and was void, and darkness was upon the face of the earth. And the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters, and God said, man, is it dark out here. He could have said that. Now, let's understand it. Remember, the earth was out form. There was no shape. I don't want to get into what happened at the time, you know, but darkness was upon the face of the deep. But then God said in verse 3, let there be light. And there was light. And God saw the light, and it was good. And God divided the light from the darkness. And God called the light day. And the darkness he called night. And the evening and the morning were the first day. And God said, let there be a firmament in the midst of the waters, and let it divide the waters from the waters. So in essence, what God does, he calls it out, but he also gives it purpose. I mean, you all see that. He calls it out, but he gives it purpose. He divides the light from the darkness. He called light day, and darkness he called night, and evening and morning were the first day. So he calls it out, but he also gives it purpose. Now look down at verse 9. It says, and God said, let the waters under heaven be gathered together into one place, and let the dry land appear. And it was so. Verse 11, and God said, let the earth bring forth grass, the herb yielding seed, and so on and so on. Verse 14, and God said, let there be lights in the firmament of the heaven. Verse 20, and God said, let the waters bring forth abundantly the moving creature, and so on and so on. It just goes on. Verse 24, and God said, and God said. You see, one of the things that you have to remember is when God spoke all of these things, he also injected his faith into the earth. See, when he created this, as he said it, he injected faith in the earth. Faith is in the earth. Faith is in these walls. It's in the seat you're sitting in. It's in the carpet that your feet is placed on. I'm going somewhere with this. Hallelujah. So when God spoke into the earth, he injected faith into the earth. The prophet Isaiah got the revelation in this Isaiah 55 and 11. When he says, so shall my word be that goes forth out of my mouth. It shall not return unto me void, or it shall not return unto me empty, but it shall accomplish that which I please and prosper or grow where I sent it. You see, in other words, it's impossible for God's word to go out and not return with a manifestation. Impossible. God's word cannot go out and come back empty. Because as it goes out, it grows. It prospers where I sent it. It grows. And it comes back. Hallelujah. Now, another important part is everything God says already exists. Everything he says already exists. Now, the actual meaning, I've taught this for many times. The actual meaning for let there be light is light in me be. So everything he says already exists. The Apostle Paul got the revelation when he wrote Romans 4:17, calling things that be not as though they were. In other words, as though it already existed. See, with this in mind, if you really think about it, do you know what makes all the promises of God yea and amen? According to 2 Corinthians 1:20, you know, we read that all the promises of God in him are yea and amen, is because the promises are real. You can't promise something that doesn't exist. I can't promise to give you my rose if I don't have one. I'm the only one. Y'all getting the coffee. I understand. See, we read it. 2 Corinthians 1:20. All the promises in God in him are yea and amen. What is it that makes those promises? Because they are real. The promises exist. That's why whatever promise you see in the word, it already exists. Why? Because God is not a liar. Let's go to Numbers 23. Hallelujah. This should have just moved right along. You should still have faith inventory in your spirit. Numbers 23, verse 19, says, God is not a man that he should lie, neither the son of man that he should repent. Hath he said, shall he not do it? Or has he spoken, and shall he not make it good? An Amplified Bible says, God is not a man that he should tell or act a lie, neither the son of man that he should feel repentance or compunction for what he has promised. Has he said, and shall he not do it? Or has he spoken, and shall he not make it good? You see, you can't make good or produce something that you don't have. You know, God can only say what it is. He can't make good on something that he does not have. So has he spoken, or shall he not make? How has he spoken it? Through his word. That's why whatever promise you see in the word, it already exists. It's real. Oh, my. You see, God don't have to say something to make something. You see, because the moment he said it, it already was. You just have to think about that. This is the reason why we don't have to get God to do something. And I know some of we, you know, I got to do something to get God to do. We don't have to get God to do something. All that you'll ever need is already done. See, that's why I'm emphasizing this word. Whatever promise you see in the word, it already exists. Hallelujah. Let's go to Ephesians, the first chapter of Ephesians. First chapter of Ephesians. Verse 3. Hallelujah. First chapter of Ephesians, verse 3. It says, blessed be the God and our Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who is about to bless us. Depending on where you're from, who fits to bless us. Who has, past tense, has blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ, according as he has chosen us in him before the foundation of the world. Already been blessed. Chosen in him. Chosen in him before the foundation of the world. Chosen in him before physical manifestation. We are already, don't matter, I don't feel, but no. He's already blessed us. See, this is why I said, you don't have to get God to do something. The moment he said it, it's already done. God can't say, I'm getting ready to bless you. Because he's already done it. Okay. I work with you. So already been blessed. Chosen in him. You see, remember, light. I'm going back to Genesis. Light was a spiritual blessing before it became a physical blessing. Because remember, light in me, obviously it already existed. Light in me be. It's just the same when a woman is pregnant. You know. She don't get pregnant when baby come out. Baby doesn't exist because when baby come out, baby has already existed. Now, I don't want to get real deep on that because I get into some issues with that. But baby already exists. Don't have to see eyes and feet. Baby already exists. Same thing here. You know, it already exists. Light in me be. Hallelujah. Now, those who remember, I've taught and said this before, that material things are dependent upon spiritual things for his existence. You know, if something is going to manifest physically, it must first begin in the spiritual realm. Let's go to Hebrews 11:3. Now, I already mentioned it, but let's turn to it. Hallelujah. See, I don't want to just say, you know, hold on to the confession of your faith. You got to remember why, and you got to understand the foundation to that. See, sometimes when we don't really have an understanding about something, we only do it for so long. You know, why I got to keep confess? Well, we need to know the power and the importance in the confession of faith. Hebrews 11:3. Now, I said it earlier. Through faith, we understand that the worlds, plural, the spiritual world, the natural world, worlds were framed by the word of God. So that things which are seen, which is what we see, were not made of things which do appear. One translation says, we understand that the worlds during the successive ages were framed, fashioned, put in order, and equipped for their intended purpose by the word of God. So that what we see was not made out of things which are visible. Now, keep this thought in mind. The word is the invisible seed that produces a visible harvest. The word is an invisible seed that produces a visible harvest. Keep that in your mental Rolodex. The word is the invisible seed that produces a visible harvest. The word is an invisible seed that produces a visible harvest. The word is an invisible seed that produces a visible harvest. Now, why did I say that? Jesus says in Luke 8:11 that the seed is the word of God. Now, remember, when God created the earth and everything in it, he injected seed in it to reproduce. Let's go back to Genesis 1. Hallelujah. Let me say it again. When he created the earth, everything in it, you know, he put faith in that, but he injected seed in the earth to reproduce. Genesis 1, verse 11. And God said, let the earth bring forth grass, the herb yielding seed, and the fruit tree yielding fruit after its kind, whose seed is in itself upon the earth, and it was so. And the earth brought forth grass and herb yielding seed after its kind, and the tree yielding fruit whose seed was in itself after his kind. So this is why I say that he injected seed into the earth to reproduce. You see, a seed was made to serve as proof that the fruit does exist. Let me back up again. The word is the invisible seed that produces a visible harvest. When God created the earth and everything in it, he injected seed in it. A seed was made to serve as proof that the fruit does exist. In other words, a grass seed is your evidence that grass does exist. An apple seed is your proof that apple trees do exist. Oh my. So now, since the word is seed, then whatever God has said in his word is all the evidence, all the proof that you need that it does exist. Think about a promise in the word of God right now. That promise that you thought about in the word, that is your proof that it does exist. Hallelujah. Now let me back up again. You know, apple seed is the evidence, is the proof that apple trees exist. Orange seed is the proof that oranges do exist. Watermelon seed is the proof that watermelons exist. The word is seed. And if I see healing in here, healing exists. If I see wealth and riches in here, if I see debt freedom in here, it does. If I see houses and lands in here, it does exist. My God, damn it. I'm the only one happy in here. See, I don't know why we have a hard time seeing it this way. This is why I kept saying, you know what an apple tree look like. You know how an apple tree grows. Apple tree grows because of apple seed. Oh my. And see, as God injected faith in here, he injected seed to reproduce. In other words, I can reproduce this room. If I see a 45 room mansion sitting on 10 acres, I've got seed to reproduce it. If I see a specially made drop Rolls Royce in the color I like, I've got seed to reproduce it. Because everything God created, he injected faith in it, but he injected seed to reproduce. Everything you see in here can be reproduced. Oh my, let me calm down, Reverend. Calm down. Some of y'all in the daylight. Pastor and took off. I don't know where yet. No problem. I said, hey, we stay with you. See, this is why I said, think about a promise in the Bible. It already exists. You see, that promise, it doesn't have to be made or created because it already exists. See, this is why it's so important that you know all these things. That's why I keep repeating it over and over, so that you can aggressively exercise the faith confession. Now, let's break it down how it works. Let's go to Romans 10. Hallelujah. You may have to get the CD on this and meditate on it, hear it over and over and over again. Oh, my. Romans 10, verse 8. This is how it works. But what saith it? The word is nigh thee, even in thy mouth and in thy heart. That is the word of faith which we preach. That if thou should confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shall believe in thine heart that God has raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth, and with the mouth confession is made. So now the heart believes, the mouth confesses. In other words, I speak what my heart believes. What my heart believes, I speak. I speak what my heart believes. And what my heart believes, I speak. I speak what my heart believes. And what my heart believes, I speak. I know it's sounding redundant. I speak what my heart believes. And what my heart believes, I speak. I speak what my heart believes, and what my heart believes, I speak. Hallelujah. You see, there's a necessary connection with the heart and the mouth. In the spirit, it's the seed and the soil. See, that's why Jesus, he really simplified this in Mark, when he said, really, how the kingdom of God operate. So is the kingdom of God, as if a man would sow seed in the ground. This is really how the kingdom operates. The law of sowing and reaping. And that's something that we can all identify with, even in the natural. That's why those of you, if you've never done it, sow some seed in something. Get a jar, get a glass, do something. And put a particular seed in there and watch it grow. And I'm telling you, that's going to help give you a revelation on how things work spiritually. I've said this story. There's a tree in the back of my house, and I watch it every season. And every time I see it, things, it just does something to my faith. It just causes me to, oh, that's right. I've got to sow this because that's how it operates. Hallelujah. So seed and the soil or the ground, they work together, produce the fruit. You know that in the natural. You know, you got to, if you want grass, you got to have grass seeds. If you want apples, you got to have apple seeds. But on the same token, you've got to have soil. It's got to be sown into something. You know, you can't put seeds on stony ground, as Jesus gives a parable of. You know, that you can't drop no seeds on concrete and expect it to grow. You can drop seeds on this carpet and expect it to grow, because this is not soil. This soil is not designed for that. But the ground, the earth.
We sincerely hope you enjoy this message from Stephen Pettis Ministry. If you are blessed and would like to sow a seed and become a covenant partner with SPM, feel free to contact us at 877-324-8497, prompt 6, or online at stephenpettisministries.org. If you would like this or any other message in its entirety, we'd also love to hear from you. Get ready for a better life.
I come to give you a better life.